Alhamdulillah, wassalat, wassalam, wa rasulullah. Wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ahdu la sharika la. Wa ashadu anna muhammadin abdullahi wa rasuluh. All praises and thanks are due to Allah. All praises and thanks are due to God. All praises and thanks are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship than the one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final messenger of God that includes the long chain of prophets and messengers that includes Jesus and Moses and Abraham and all the other prophets that we find in the Holy Quran. May God's peace and blessing be upon them all, inshallah. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to talk to you today about community, the importance of community, and that how we as a community should continue to build upon the bonds of respect and trust and love, inshallah, that we should have, all because we are believers in La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. The beautiful mosaic of ethnicities and cultures and backgrounds that we find here at this Islamic center and across the world, alhamdulillah, it is a blessing from God subhanahu wa ta'ala. But before doing so, I want to speak about something that happened from the last Jummah prayer to today's Jummah prayer, and that is, of course, as you all know by now, what happened in Sri Lanka. The tragedy, the horror, the terrorist attack upon the churches, upon our Christian brothers and sisters in humanity, while they stood and while they prayed, worshiping God subhanahu wa ta'ala. The travesty, the horror, the satanic act that took place is something that no human being with any modicum of decency would not condemn, and of course we do. That terror attack took place on Easter, their Easter Sunday, their holiest day, and it murdered over 300 men, women, and children, and injured over 500 more. Whether the devil strikes in Sri Lanka, or in Christchurch, New Zealand, or in Pittsburgh, it is hard to fathom what barbaric mindset would conceive and carry out such attacks. But alhamdulillah, we pray for those who are perished, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah in verse 62, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, verily those who have attained to faith in this divine writ, as well as those who follow the Jewish faith, and the Christians, and the Sabians, and all who believe in God in the last day and do righteous deeds, they shall have their reward with their sustainer, and no fear need they have, neither shall they grieve. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. And so we ask for the souls of our Christian brothers and sisters who perished to be in Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah. That we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to embrace the loved ones who are now suffering in pain and comfort them at this time of grief. We stand in support of and shoulder to shoulder with our Christian brothers and sisters. And indeed, God subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed that He created humankind into different communities, into different colors, into different ethnicities. As He says in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we have created you into nations and tribes so that you may come to know one another. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Ultimately, we all return to Him. Everything that is living, everything with a soul, returns to Him. And for us as Muslims, for our community, we have been given a special message in the Quran, a message that I will share here shortly, but it is a message, some verses from Surah Al-Imran, that when we read them, they should fill our hearts and our souls with confidence and gratitude, but should also provide a clear warning that we should be mindful of. And finally, a clear trait of what we should be as a community. It says in the first verse that I will recite, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You are indeed the best community that has ever been brought forth for the good of mankind. You enjoin the doing of what is right and forbid the doing of what is wrong, and you believe in God. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Subhanallah. This should give all of us confidence, humble confidence, that we are part of that continuum that started over 1,440 years ago, and inshallah will continue to the Day of Judgment, that believes in a message, that believes in a word that has been the best that has ever been given to humankind. Now, despite the fact that we understand this, and that we are here at this point in time in the history of our own lives and the history of humanity, there are so many challenges around the world. There are so many challenges in the Muslim world that it may not feel like it. That there are fires in different parts of the world that plague our community. And so for us as Muslims, we have that challenge. But for us as Muslims in these United States, we have an extraordinary opportunity. It is a community that we can build, a model that we can build, that has afforded us that opportunity here in these United States. We live in the most powerful and influential country in the world. We come from near and from far. And as I said, we are made up of a multitude of races and ethnicities and cultures. You know, every Friday I try and stand at the front door to greet people coming in. And I believe a mosque, amongst other things, should be a place of warmth and where you get that spirit and that feeling of community. And I actually am grateful to God subhanahu wa ta'ala that I'm able to do so, that I'm able to stand there. And I feel that my soul and my faith is indeed enriched by doing so. And so it is gratifying, it is satisfying, it is interesting, it is builds upon my faith, to be very honest with you, when you see such a diversity. People who are young, people who are old, people who are healthy, people who are in not so good health, the rich and the poor, people who would not normally see each other or socialize with each other, but they are coming here purely because of their belief in La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. It is because we share that strand of faith, that's rock solid part of faith, that a Hispanic Muslim can come to the same place as a Nigerian Muslim, that a African American Muslim can come to the same place as an Indonesian Muslim, or a taxi driver comes to the same place as a Hollywood actor, or a doctor comes to the same place as someone who is unemployed, and so on and so forth. The combinations are infinite. There is undoubtedly a blessing in that, brothers and sisters, to be here amongst all of us here today and every Friday, inshallah. And on top of that, alhamdulillah, we have been given this message, that the message that we get in al-Islam is the best message that has been given to humankind. We should take pride and solace in that, and that we are a part of that today. Now, again, over the long arc of history, one could argue that we Muslims are not in our finest hour right now. That, again, with so many problems in the world, one would have a hard time. But again, let us Muslims in the United States, where we live in relative freedom, realize the opportunity given to us. But as we strive and aspire to live up to what God has told us, to what God has told us what we are, let us also take heed of a warning. In that same surah, Surah Imran, in verse 103, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and hold fast altogether unto the bond of God, and do not draw apart from one another. Do not draw apart from one another, and remember the blessings which God has bestowed upon you. And that there might grow out of you a community of people who invite unto all that is good, and enjoin the doing of what is right, and forbid the doing of what is wrong. And it is they who shall attain to a happy state. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. It would seem, my dear brothers and sisters, that given the state of affairs of our world, that we unfortunately have not quite listened to the mandate from the Quran. It seems that unfortunately the ego can override the divine message and direction. That there are some in the Muslim world that have a lust for this life, for power, or for money, and that has overridden the spirit of our faith. That divine warning, do not draw apart from one another. And in the second part of the khutbah, we'll explore some perspectives on the word invite that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses. Qudu Allah, ask Allah for whatever you want. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam wa rasulullah. Wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ahdara sharika la wa ashadu anna muhammadin abdullahi wa rasuluh. Off the coast of Italy, the country of Italy, there is an island called Sardinia. And on this island of Sardinia, there is a village called Via Grande. And in Via Grande, they have an extraordinary number of people who live past 100 years of age. Now, in a TED Talk in 2017, a TED Talk, for those of you who are not familiar, TED Talks are basically abbreviated educational talks. In 2017, there was a TED Talk given by Miss Susan Pinker, who tells how there were researchers from Brigham Young University who went to this town on Sardinia to understand why they had so many people who lived past the age of 100. Centenarians, I believe they are called. And they came up with a number of factors as to why that was the case. And they had 10 of them that they listed. And there were ones that you could sort of already imagine: exercise, clean air, they avoided hypertension, but it didn't matter whether they were lean or overweight. They didn't necessarily eat great, but they also did not eat terribly either. And so there were these 10 factors, including the flu vaccine, by the way. But then at the very top of the list, actually the top two, I'll say the second to the top, The second to top factor for living past 100 years of age was they had close relationships. They had close relationships, and they're not talking about necessarily with their spouses, of course that included, but also friendships. They had a close relationships with others, people they could call on a dime, people who were there for them. That was a factor. And the number one factor was social integration. In other words, how much they interacted with people as they moved throughout their day, and how many people they talked to throughout the day, people who were both close to them and people who were just people they met at the grocery store or the mailman or whoever, those played a role, believe it or not, in how long they lived. In other words, the community they belonged to and their interactions with others was the most decisive role in how long they live. And for us as Muslims here and in part of this Islamic center, alhamdulillah, we have a beautiful community. And we have, inshallah, beautiful interactions. And what was also interesting to see is that this human-to-human connection was far more important, for example, than being on social media. And what they found is that the face-to-face contact with somebody you know or just meeting somebody in the community, it was actually good for the brain. It was good for mental health. And what they found is that doing so on a frequent basis released neurotransmitters that foster trust and reduces stress. And that in fact it is the same neurotransmitter that killed pain and induced pleasure, like a vaccine, subhanAllah. And I guess that's why I stand at the front door, because I certainly get pleasure from doing so. And so this tells us that those community ties, even if they are cursory, even if they aren't necessarily the strongest, they are still good for us, and both mentally and emotionally. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, with that understanding, we still have a long way to go as a community here in the United States. And there is actually an emerging problem within the Muslim community in the United States, and that is of young Muslims in these United States, young American Muslims, young people who are second or third generation, who are millennials or Generation Xers or others. A study has shown that they have a desire to connect with God, and they have a desire to be part of a community, but they are not finding that the mosque is the place to do that. They want to connect with God, they want to be part of a community, but they can't do it at a mosque. Astaghfirullah. And instead, I would like to hope that our mosque does not have that problem, but I think we need to do a better job. And they've actually given a name to this movement, and they've actually made a film about it, and it's called Unmosqued. 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 And if you go to www.unmoskedfilm.com, you'll see the details behind that. And it is a problem. It is something that we cannot avoid, that our young American Muslims are not finding a home here. And so a couple of key things they mentioned in this documentary that drove people away from the mosques are the following. Number one, the treatment of women. That there was in this documentary showed that women do not have a proper space in these mosques where they are told to pray. Sometimes they are given the most ridiculous places to pray, in a closet or something of that nature. And it is a very disrespectful treatment of women. And also beyond that, they are not involved at the leadership level at these mosques either. They are male-dominated, immigrant-dominated mosques. And so I'm proud to say at this Islamic Center, we have the chairperson preceding me was a woman, and I'm proud to say that the majority of the mosque right now, the staff, is run by women. I will be very honest with you. We have pursued the idea of trying to have women pray side by side here at this Islamic Center, but the logistics are not doable. But that does take place at our satellite in Pasadena. And if you come to one of our Eid prayers, you will find that men and women pray side by side. And inshallah, that condition will change. The other attitude that they saw and that it causes them to not come to the mosque is the extraordinarily harsh, judgmental attitude. And that is, if you're not, brother, you don't have a beard. Why don't you have a beard? Or your pants are not rolled up. Why aren't they rolled up? Or you're not wearing your hijab properly, sister. Coming into a mosque and looking at the outward things that make up a person, and by doing so, pass judgment upon them. Now, I'm not saying we don't have standards. Of course we have standards. Of course we have rules and we have etiquette and we have age-old, century will last. That's our Islamic standards. But to drive people away, it goes against the grain of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used, that word that he used in the Quran, invite. He didn't say demand harshly. He said to invite. And invite connotes an etiquette. Connotes a manner, connotes a way. You know, there's a classic story here at this Islamic Center from the 1980s that a man came to take the Shahada right here. And he said his Shahada, Shahadu an la ilaha illallah, Shahadu an Muhammad Rasulullah. Everybody congratulated him here and they invited him to come to the social hall in the back and have a meal. From the time he left here to the time he got to the social hall, he was told n number of times, you did that wrong, you did this wrong, you should be doing that differently, you can't do that anymore. And it made the reduced the faith from the spirit of worshiping God subhanahu wa ta'ala to a bunch of rules. Rules without a spirit are really no good. And so, inshallah, the spirit of our institutions, the spirit of our mosques, must adapt and must change. I'll just tell you personally, I used to work here from 1986 to 1991. I was once drinking a glass of water in my left hand, and I was lambasted for doing so. I've read the hadith about drinking with your right hand and not your left. I get it, but to basically drop a nuclear bomb for a $5 crime is not acceptable. That's not how our faith works. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about inviting people, we must change our attitude. We must adapt our approach. Otherwise, we are likely to lose generations of Muslims, or they will create their own institutions and leave the existing ones in the dust. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please guide us to the straight path. Please guide our community both here and all over the world. Oh Allah, please guide us not just to keep but to increase our bonds amongst each other. Please help us serve in your cause and your way. Please protect us from any harm of any sort and bless us with mercy. Help us see the wrong and help us avoid it, and help us see the right and help us follow it.